In his new book, Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed, Tonight Show veteran and 7-time Emmy nominee John Max explores the world of late-night monologues and comedy, as well as the surprisingly wide influence that these late-night comedy shows and their hosts wield over life in the United States. It's a great pleasure to welcome John Max to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, and thank you for having me, Joe. Appreciate it.
John Max was the top writer for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for all 22 years that Leno was on the air. Give us a sense of what you wanted to say in this book and tell people about the monologue.
It was a chance for me, Joe, to look back at 22 years, not just what, was done with Jay and what, the fun times and great stuff I got to do there, but a chance to look at monologues in general. What do late-nighters do? How do they influence us? What do they mean? I always claim it's a thermometer and a thermostat when it comes to pop culture and politics. In one sense, it's reflecting what's out there, and on the other hand, it can make a difference. I put Saturday Night Live in this category, and you look at Tina Fey, and people say, "Oh, Sarah Palin said she could see Russia from her house." Well, Sarah Palin never said that. Tina Fey said that.
Yeah.
Al Gore never said, "I invented the internet." Jimmy Fallon said that in a joke about Al Gore, not Al Gore. But it was out there. It was launched. And, we do get our news and our opinions in a lot of ways from all the late night shows. And I wanted to look back at everything from Steve Allen all the way up, Johnny Carson through Jay and Dave. And obviously now with 700 different people getting new shows in the last week, I thought it'd be important to talk about that.
It seems as though that it's hard. And of course, late night comedy has been around for a long time. The Tonight Show has been around for a long time, starting with Steve Allen, then Jack Parr. But when it comes to the monologue, is it safe to say that Johnny Carson was a guy who really perfected the modern monologue as we know it today?
Absolutely. It's, on radio, it would have been Bob Hope. He's the one that did the topical monologue. And when Jack Parr, Steve Allen was more skits and sketches. And when, Jack Parr came on, his was more just stories and a conversation with the audience at home. Johnny is the one who gave topical jokes, he took what you had seen on the evening news or the local news or read in the newspaper and put it in the monologue with his unique and great commentary on it. Jay put it on steroids in the sense of, where Johnny had a 10, 12, 13, 14 joke monologue, Jay took it up to 25, 26, 28 jokes. And he really expanded the topics you would do and brought much more, a much bigger look at politics in his monologue.
Was that also because he was comfortable with the format and comfortable with talking to the audience?
Absolutely. That came from that, and we also had the advantage, I think, with Jay and The Tonight Show is when Johnny was doing his monologue, there were limited sources of news. I mean, you would get it from, the evening news or the New York Times or the Washington Post. When Jay's taking over in 1992, when he took over the show, really coincided right then with the expansion. It was, again, before Al Gore invented that internet. But it was when we had the 24-hour news cycles, when you had CNN. You could get stories all the time. And then throw that into when people were able to go online and look up stories from 150,000 sources. It gave comedy writers an opportunity to get better topics. And it gave Jay a wider range. And he felt comfortable, as you're right, he felt comfortable doing with it. He was our everyman.
Yeah.
He gave his, when Jay talked about a topic, 80% of the audience out there going, yep, he's right.
When you look at this style, I do want to mention David Letterman because he's retiring and his show is ending after 33 years on television. And you look at somebody who has done that for that period of time, he started off almost somewhat not skeptical of the monologue, but obviously he wasn't comfortable with it and not comfortable with it doing it right after Johnny Carson had done it. But over time has come to be a central part of the show.
Absolutely. And, in Dave, there's many different variations of Dave's show over the years. And you're absolutely right on that. And the way he you know, in the, I guess, the beginning of the second part of Dave's career, if we want to call it that, which was still quite a while ago, he found that a way he could get in monologue jokes without doing the traditional form was the top 10 list. And that was a way to, you know, have one topic, one overarching topic, and then have 10 different lines about it. Our form, you know, with Jay was what we called the joke run. You know, we would take something like the economy is so bad that, and then rattle off 5, 6, 7 jokes right about that. But it was really Dave's way of being able to do monologue jokes without doing it in the traditional Johnny way. Then later on, he's obviously changed, and he does those monologue jokes, not as many as Jay, but in his own unique style.
Bring us into the process. So if Jay Leno is sitting backstage with you and you're going over, let's say there are double the amount of jokes that will actually go on the air, what makes a joke hit or the one that the host is comfortable with versus one that doesn't make the cut?
Quick look at the process. Jay probably read 1,000 jokes a day. I personally wrote about 100 a day, every day, for 4,610 shows. And he would look through every one, read through every one, and he would narrow it down to about 100. Out of those 100, he would pick 25 or 30. Now, again, a lot of them might be on the same topic. There might be different variations of the same joke. You have 18 writers all writing. You know, we see something in the news. We see a White House fence jumper. You know, we're all going to do some variation of, you know, someone desperately trying to get into the White House. It must have been Hillary Clinton, you know, jumping the fence. We're all going to do a variation of that. He would then pick those jokes to give him a wide range. You don't want to be Johnny One Note, hit the same topics. So he would have his topics. There'd be, what, 7, 8, 9 different topics, maybe as many as 12 or 13 in the same monologue. Then he tells him, and the question then is, the bigger question is, what would get the laugh? You never know. I had jokes that I wrote that I was sure that would kill, and they got absolute crickets out there. And I would write jokes that I thought, this is okay. And the audience would be laughing hysterically. You'd almost see in Jay's eyes, like, that wasn't that great a joke. so you never really know. But one thing about Jay, Joe, that I think was really good is he had a real sense of the audience. You know, he knew, you know, he would never try to force people with a joke to accept something that just wasn't believable. And I think that was a great strength.
How much of it is the host? If there was a Leno, a joke that you wrote for Leno, if it was coming out of Dave's mouth, would it still work?
It would be different because with Jay, you listen to the joke and the performance, the delivery. With Letterman, so much you almost were watching, in my mind, his reaction to that joke.
Yeah.
You know, with Jay, it was the joke stood by itself. And again, it was a great performance. He just wasn't reading up there. But with Dave, it was, to me, it was always like, it's not so much the joke he's telling, because I think that Jay's, you know, again, Jay had great jokes, Dave had great jokes, but is how is Letterman reacting to it? And he's almost judging himself as he's telling the joke, where Jay was free of that. He just, you know, the joke's going to live or die. And with Dave, you can almost tell, like, if a joke didn't work, you could almost like the look of, not panic, but like of, oh, I've done it again.
So what does somebody do after 22 years of writing jokes and working as a writer on a late night show when it's all over?
First of all, you write a book.
You write a book, sure.
That's the one thing. But, you know, I've been really lucky. For all those years with Jay, he was very encouraging and encouraging me to go out and do other things. So I wrote for 18 Academy Awards. I've written, I think, for 8 or 9 Golden Globes, Academy of Country Music Awards, I think 18 or 19 Emmys. Not winning them, by the way, but just writing for the show.
Right.
And, you know, doing that, and, you know, there's comics that I've written for years, Marty Short, Billy Crystal, Steve Martin, Chris Rock. There's performers like Hugh Jackman I do a lot of things for. And so what I did is it just gave me a lot of free time to do that. So the schedule's been really busy. It's just that I'm not sitting in that office in Burbank anymore.
Is there a skill set in the sense of you open up the paper and you immediately see the joke?
Not immediately, but pretty quick.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, there's the, you look at a topic and the immediate thing that a comedy writer, at least in my case, looks at it goes, what's stupid about this? What's wrong about this? How did the government screw up again? Again, and I just saw the story again, white, you know, another White House fence jumper arrested. and they're going to make it, you know. And so I'm immediately going, and I'm reading through the story, and I see the line, White House officials say they're going to make it tougher to get into the White House. And Mitt Romney's saying, tell me about it. I mean, so, you know, you have that. That's immediate. That's right. And that was just done, by the way, I just literally picked up the paper. That comes 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Others, you know, you have to look at the story and go in depth, and then do not just what's stupid, but what's the twist. So it is a skill set, and it's a very visual to mind to say the thing that you would say in a conversation with a buddy, except you type it up.
You talked a moment ago and at the beginning of our conversation about how much of what we get of the idea of who created the internet and other things that we take as fact that were actually came out of a monologue. Did that put pressure on you of when we started to report that many people get their news from the late night monologue, to put pressure on you to get the setup, the accuracy of the fact right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want, again, it, when I say pressure, you don't want to ever, you know, do anything that's going to really be libelous or hurt anyone in any sense of the word. But we also know that it is comedy. And we know that the comedy, that you're taking a mirror and you're twisting it and exaggerating a little bit. So, I mean, you know, I don't know for a fact that everything I read in the National Enquirer is true. But if I do a joke that says the National Enquirer reported, and they check and check and recheck their facts, you're signaling to the audience, this was reported. I'm not saying it's true.
Right.
And you leave that out there. What you really don't want is a situation where, you know, and again, because as we know, sometimes the news media will jump on something and report something that's not accurate. And if you build off of that, you kind of got to stop that. So I would tend to always, when I wrote my jokes for the day, I'd look back and do a quick double check. Did this story change? They said that the Supreme Court voted down the Obamacare. Well, wait, that was just the first CNN report. It's actually upheld.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always double checking to make sure.
The name of the book is Monologue, What Makes America Laugh Before Bed. It's published by Blue Rider Press. John Max, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Monologue. It's written by John Max, published by Blue Rider Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.